Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised Second Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 348 of Heroes Unlimited. We're in the equipment section. We've been working our way through day by day and page by page through some very dubious decisions about things to put in this book. We started right off the bat with the absence of firearms, and then after a few pages of transdimensional TMNT, which we talked about to pass the time while Heroes Unlimited retread a lot of already printed material about armor, optics, communication systems, surveillance devices, etc. We then came back strong with the portable scan dilator and the portable laboratory, a couple of science-y gadgets, and then yesterday we talked about field equipment and, believe it or not, containers. Almost 40 full lines of prices for various kinds of casks, crates, jugs, and jars. Presumably because this game is from 1998, a time when if you were playing a heated game of Heroes Unlimited and it became really important to find out how much a 4-pint jar costs, there was nothing you could do. I mean, the internet had only been popular for like 2 years. There were only about a dozen websites, none of them jar-themed. There was no way to get this information. I mean, I guess you could send somebody to the corner store to go see how much jars cost. There's time to do that in between rounds of Palladium Combat, but you know how it is. You send somebody away from the gaming table to go down the street to pick up pencils for character sheets or a rock star for somebody who worked the night shift last night. Next thing you know, they're gone for a full hour, and when they come back, they've got like a bucket of fried chicken. You don't want people leaving the gaming table for no good reason. You really need a resource at the table to tell you how much jars cost, and goddamn it, Heroes Unlimited has your back. While the absence of firearms is puzzling, you cannot say that this section is lacking in equipment. There's so much equipment here, things you would never expect to be in this section. But the opposite is also true. That's what I want to talk about today. And there's never exactly an appropriate time to talk about something that isn't in Heroes Unlimited. I just kind of have to pick the spot that seems best. And I picked today because this is the page where it occurred to me how much is missing from this equipment section. And sort of the bias that reveals about what we're tracking and what we care about in this game. So this page, first of all, continues a category entitled Miscellaneous Equipment, and boy howdy is it miscellaneous. We've got four more flashlights on this page. That brings us to a total of five flashlights, four strengths of padlock, a machete, wire cutters, trail rations, aviator sunglasses, an answering machine, a jetpack, nylon cord. Are these things in any particular order, you may ask? Alphabetical? Maybe divided into subcategories? Nope. Just whatever order they occurred to the author. He wrote the entry for spacesuit, and then he was like, oh yeah, shit, nylon cord. Nylon cord, also. And then he wrote a description for the nylon cord. No need to be any more specific than modem up with the computer equipment. But when it comes to nylon cord, quote, a variety of heavy-duty, all-purpose nylon rope or cord is available. Average tension strength is 600 pounds, and then in parentheses, 2,670 newtons. Average length is 300 feet. Cost, about $100, good availability. Everything you ever wanted to know about nylon cord. Tension strength listed in pounds and newtons? This is some serious detail. And then after the miscellaneous equipment, we get acids, and then we go on to specialty clothing. Specialty clothing is where something began to occur to me. The very first item, police-style jumpsuit. Bring to mind, please, a police-style jumpsuit. Imagine a person in a police-style jumpsuit. Okay, got it? I think you probably do. But Heroes Unlimited is not prepared to offer you that level of trust. Knowing you, you bonehead, you dunce, you need details. So here we go. Quote, one piece, zipper down the middle, large zippered chest pockets, two, front pockets, two, rear pockets, two, pencil slash pen slot, left arm, sleeves and leg cuffs, zipper for adjustability, by swing, pleated back, and padded knees. Cost $130. I remind you that on the last page, this game did not see fit to explain the contents of a bow hunter accessory kit with the assumption that we would just know. But here on this page, it tells us that a police-style jumpsuit has a by-swing pleated back and literally enumerates its pockets. We even get fashion choices. We even get color choices from any of these. Next up, heavy camouflage coveralls. Quote, insulated lining for cold weather, above freezing level cold, wrist and ankle elastic for tight fit, six pockets, chest, hip, rear. Tiger stripe camouflage, $90. Tree bark camouflage, $95. Black or white, $75. Green, $75. So two types of camo and then three color choices in solids. We get similar options for the light camouflage coveralls. And by the way, this page has a 3D camouflage suit that has, quote, approximately 250 individual hanging strips to blend into the foliage, and it only gives a plus 10% to the prowl skill. So the strong implication is that all this other camo bullshit has no effect. I mean, if a $150 3D camo suit with like decoy leaves hanging off it only gives a plus 10% bonus, and that bonus is listed specifically, to me that implies that the rest of this camo is just for flavor. If it gave a small bonus, like a plus 5% bonus to prowl, it would be listed. Now this section goes on to give a lot of other useful garb that I have no problem having it in this game. Lab coats, you know, extreme weather gear. The decisive moment for me, the moment that I realized what was going on here and like realized what I was missing in this section, is when I got to wool sweaters, which actually appear on the next page. Quote, finest British quality knit with leather reinforcements at shoulders, elbows, and neck. Available in cream, green, or black. Cost $130 to $160. The wool sweater seemed way out of place to me until I realized that it's like a military style wool sweater. It's like what the Brigadier wears sometimes on Doctor Who. And then I realized this seemed out of place initially because virtually everything here is for like weirdo survivalists and military personnel. I mean, this section has fatigues, ghillie suits, tents, rations, wild animal traps, fishing line, there's a camouflage paint kit, lots of cord and rope and chains and canvas. And this all kind of seems reasonable until you consider, when's the last time you saw a comic book superhero with a giant stockpile of military gear? I mean, barring a character like The Punisher or Deathstroke or somebody who that's their gimmick, which in this game would be like the Hunter Vigilante character or the Hardware Weapons character. I'm talking about your Superman, your Spider-Man, your Wonder Woman, your Hulk, your Martian Manhunter, the X-Men. I mean, they've got gear, they've got some equipment, but like how many of them wear police jumpsuits? How many of them wear fatigues, make heavy use of camouflage spray paint, have kits complete with mosquito netting and fishing line and rabbit traps? How many superheroes routinely carry rations? Yes, I know Batman carries snacks in his utility belt. Everybody knows that. It's the funniest fact about Batman. Because you know those snacks need to be highly compact, so it stands to reason that some of those little, like, yellow vial-looking things, those little narrow compartments on Batman's utility belt, are full of, like, peanuts and cashews. It's hilarious. But most superheroes don't do that. Most superheroes don't carry trail rations. Soldiers do, adventurers do, but not superheroes. This equipment section is really for soldiers. I think partly out of a misguided sense of realism of like what would a superhero actually want in the field if they were running their superhero career like kind of one-man paramilitary operation. And partly it's simply probably laziness from the fact that the game Recon exists, you know, Palladium's Vietnam War game. It has an equipment list. Therefore, we get, as we discussed in season one, like Vietnam era battlefield radios just reprinted in the equipment section of subsequent Palladium books. Because why wouldn't you? We wrote it. Why wouldn't it be in every book going forward? That's leaving money on the table. You know what isn't in this section? And the wool sweater is what made me realize this. Because when I saw it, it suddenly like opened my mind to this whole dimension of things that I hadn't seen in this section previously. There are no civilian clothes in this section. You know, there are police jumpsuits and ghillie suits and lab coats and fatigues. But other than that wool sweater, possibly, there are no like regular people clothes. Not even in broad strokes, like one formal outfit or work clothes. Nothing. No clothes except like soldier slash adventurer slash police clothes. Other than military rations, there's no food in this section. So if like most superheroes, you prefer to either eat at restaurants or buy groceries and make food at home, you're out of luck. This equipment section provides two ways to feed a superhero: military rations or trapping and fishing like Grizzly Adams. Speaking of restaurants, there are no services listed in this section at all. You know, going out for a meal, staying at a hotel, getting transport on like an airplane or a bus, anything from taking the subway in New York to taking a jet to Hong Kong, nothing. No listing. Nothing about information resources. There's nothing here about books, subscription services for journal access for scholarly characters, internet connection, ancient magical tomes, nothing here about information resources at all. Headquarters, right? Superheroes very commonly have headquarters, anything from like the Batcave to an apartment with a secret room behind the walk-in closet. Nothing here about real estate, about workshops, about lab facilities, holding cells, nothing. Costumes? Nothing. I mean, if you're lucky and you're, you know, a magical superhero and you can make your own magical costume whenever you say your magical word, then good for you. Or if you happen to have a superpower like bio armor that functions as a costume, then great. But if you're like most superheroes, you got to have that awkward moment after you've realized that you have great responsibility and before you bust your first supervillain, where you got to figure out where to get a spandex onesie so that your weird lifestyle won't put your family in danger. This equipment section's got nothing for you. No costumes in a superhero game. And okay, lots of superhero games don't have rules about costumes. You know what else they don't have? Prices and volume measurements for four different kinds of glass jar. I mean, when you really think about it, superheroes and comic books have pretty varied budgets, right? While Bruce Wayne is paying Alfred, maybe buying jewelry for Selina Kyle, and at the same time trying to orchestrate a takeover of some evil Gotham corporation, meanwhile, Peter Parker is trying to pay his tuition, struggling with rent for his New York apartment, maybe saving up to buy his Aunt May a nice hat for her birthday. You got characters supporting alcohol addictions, paying informants, paying out of pocket for confidential medical care, gambling, hiring lawyers, collecting rewards for turning in wanted criminals. It's like every kind of comic book hero has financial and equipment considerations that aren't even broadly touched on by this section. But we do get, for example, separate entries for the pants and shirt components of battle dress uniforms, each of which is subdivided into the categories of tiger stripe, tree bark, SWAT black, olive green, white, or khaki. They really fucking slipped one by us here. I did not notice this as a kid. But this is not a superhero game equipment section. This is the equipment section for some kind of urban paramilitary bullshit. This is like Death Squad the role-playing game. Which makes me wonder if the heroes at Kevin Sambita's table operated this way? Like, did they set up camouflaged areas in the city and like burst out of it with their machine guns, camouflage paint all over their faces, and a pile of, you know, bug out bags with wilderness survival equipment in case the supervillain encounter goes south? Is that how people played this game? Or did this just run like a superhero game and they just kind of glossed over the question of equipment so that when it came time to actually turn this into a book, they just filled the equipment section with shit they had lying around from other games in the Palladium Books line? I really don't know, but I think the dumbest thing, if I had to pick one thing on this page, is the specialty clothing section. Granted, it only starts on this page, but it really encapsulates my larger point that applies to this whole page, which is that if you're gonna have a special clothing section in a superhero game, to have it focus literally exclusively on police and military garb, and not even touch on civilian clothes or superhero costumes, it's just a weird-ass choice, and like a very beardy grognard one, to say, okay, we're going to write the clothing section. Obviously, no clothes matter except what soldiers wear, so we'll just gloss over all normal clothes and all superhero clothes in this superhero game, and let's just really take a tight focus on what colors of camo you can get for each individual item of military dress. I'm buying my cold weather coveralls now. Do I want the forest camo or the Arctic camo? This is the kind of decision we always see Peter Parker struggling with. You know, if there's really one perennial struggle Aquaman has had in adapting to the surface world, it's, shall I opt for a khaki wool sweater for this operation or the cream wool sweater? It's just so out of genre. Just page after page of stuff that you couldn't give a shit less about in a superhero game. Speaking of things we all couldn't give less of a shit about, tomorrow we're on to yet more repeated content from Ninjas and Super Spies, and you know what that means. Join me tomorrow as we don't quite talk about the final page of the equipment section on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.